Yeah, ready when you are.
Okay, it's 6:03 or 4. I'm going to call the meeting. I'm standing in tonight because Janice couldn't be here, so I'm chairing tonight's meeting only. So what we'll need is a roll call, please.
Yes. Commissioner Madigan?
Here.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Taggart? He's not here. And Supervisor Perez? He's also not here. Oh, and Commissioner Anderson, you're right.
Excuse.
He's also not here. See what happens when I can't read all the things?
Excuse. Okay. Approval of summary of proceedings. I looked through it, but I wasn't here last month, so is there any corrections?
I did have some corrections.
Okay.
Hang on. In this file somewhere. The one that stuck out at me is just a little summary about what the letter proposal said. As soon as I find it, I'll tell you what this is on. Just the statement in the summary says that it was a letter to the city, but it was not. It was a letter to the board regarding contacting the city. So that's
the presentation.
Yeah.
Hang
on. Okay. Page 4. Okay, but first of all, in that very first paragraph under section 5 on page 4, she has spoken with a few people at the city in Bakersfield. She does not believe the city would be interested in any kind of JPA at this point. Actually, what I said was that the city said to me, quote, it would be a step backwards. So I think that quote probably would be important to put in there, because that was directly what they said. And then, where's the part about the letter?
Packet which would include a draft letter, so same paragraph.
Yeah, you're on the right path, Debbie. Draft letter that she would the commission to consider sending to city officials.
Okay, yeah, there it is. Okay, it would be, let's see, it would put together a packet which include a draft letter, like the commission to forward to the board of supervisors regarding contacting city officials.
Got it.
That's kind of what it said.
Okay.
So how do you want to change it?
What I said. Let me say it
again.
I don't know if I can.
Match that up to
a packet which includes a draft letter that she would like the commission to consider sending to the Board of Supervisors regarding contacting the city officials.
Okay. She's going to make a motion to change the summary. I want to make sure that it's contingent upon matching.
There's also something about weight in here, but I don't know.
Blake gives his thoughts on how difficult any type of financial agreement may be. Right here?
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's good. I thought there was something different, but that's good. Okay. I think that's it.
So,
Commissioner Blackburn, the suggested changes are fine, but if you make the motion to make the changes, I need to make the motion contingent upon verification with the prior audio, since we're quoting everything.
Okay.
That's fine. All right. I'm good with that. Any other changes or errors?
Not that I noticed.
Okay. So, with that, I'll entertain a motion to accept.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. And
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Thank you. I did forget to mention, please turn your cell phones off, all three of you in the audience.
They're all lined up.
How about all three of us up here, too?
So don't put one of us in the back.
Since Larry walked in, please turn off your cell phones.
Okay,
okay, good. Consent agenda. There were two letters. And I want to see if there's anyone who wants to pull those off of consent or any further discussion.
I do. The feral cat problem. I don't know exactly what she's asking and what she's being told. Do you?
Yes, Commissioner Geary, through the chair. I had made contact with the reporting party. She is a mobile home park manager, and she has a resident who had allegedly had 40, 50, 60 cats that were being unkempt. And our officers made contact, determined there was no validity to the call, so she was requesting some sort of assistance in removing those cats from property.
Okay.
So that was the
gist
of it.
Is this the same situation that came to our attention a few months back at a mobile home park?
I don't
accusing somebody of doing or stealing their cats or something like that.
I don't recall if that's the same situation.
Okay.
I don't believe it is, though.
Okay, so it's all pretty much handled?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's good.
And the way it was handled is the property manager was directed to take advantage of the county strap neuter release program.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
The recommendation was made to the property manager to take advantage of the county's trap neuter release program.
Right.
As opposed to us going out and removing the animals and euthanizing them.
So was she amenable to that?
I believe so.
Okay.
Because I thought you said before that the person was complaining about a hoarding problem, only when the officer went out, they didn't find that to be the case.
Well, they're feral and free-roaming animals, so they don't technically have an owner.
Right.
So.
But were there 40 or 50, or were there only six?
There's more than 40 or 50 stray, feral, free-roaming cats in this mobile home park,
okay.
But this particular animal, quote-unquote animal owner, did not have 40 cats, no.
Okay.
The complaint was largely unfounded.
But 40 to 50 in a pretty good-sized mobile home park is not really that many. They're all fixed, but it's not that many.
I wouldn't say that's very many. And this is a very large mobile home park.
Yeah, okay.
But they probably have 10 times that amount on that property.
Okay,
so we remove that from the consent agenda. So,
receive the
file. Motion.
Oh,
yeah,
we're going to receive the file.
Okay.
So, I make a motion to
receive the file.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? No? Thank you. Public presentations. I'm going to read this real quick. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. I'm going to skip forward a little bit. The commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes. Anyone? First row? Liz? Dan Spanks? Larry? Okay. Back to the board then. We're going to go on to staff announcements. Director's monthly report. Director Cullen, please.
Good evening to all five of you.
Good evening.
Very briefly, the director's report, I'll just highlight a few things. Our rescue partnerships saw 157 animals leave for their forever homes through rescue. Our foster program saw another 64 new animals enter the foster care program. Our trap neuter release program eclipsed 6,000 cats since its inception in 2013. Which, by the way, Ms. Keogh had pointed out in correspondence that actually the county has been practicing trap neuter release prior to 2013.
Yeah.
I figured I'd point that out. It's not included in those numbers, but we've had grant funding that had provided for the spay neuter feral cats prior to that. Probably 2008, 2009, since, right?
2011.
11. Just...
Well, 11, 12, and then 12, 13, and then one of the conditions was local funding
to
pick it up.
Adoptions are still going strong. 478 animals were sent to their forever homes through adoption in the month. Year to date, 2,893 animals have been adopted. That's slightly ahead of last year's pace. I think last year, the calendar year, we saw 5,200 animals go to adoption. We're slightly ahead of that pace this year. 23 cats were adopted through Petco locations in July. Yes, the month of July was Mount Adopt More.
That was the name of the...
No. That was a good one. $40 dogs, $5 cats. Very successful. Our volunteer program was very successful. 2,189 total hours were donated in the month of July. Saved the department $51,573. And finally, our field services division responded to a total of 1,257 calls for service in the month of July. 7 dogs were returned to their owners in the field. 49 animals were secured on property by animal control officers in the month of July. That concludes the director's report, and I can answer any questions.
Okay.
Nick, who comes up with these adoption promotions? Because
they're
really
good. It's a collaborative effort, and a lot of times, to be honest with you, we steal them from other agencies.
Okay.
But this one was an original. I believe Sally came up with that one.
Okay.
Any questions?
No,
I'm good. Any questions?
I need to tell. Other than that, I'm good.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, may I ask the director a question?
Let me do mine, then I'll ask you a question. Okay. Because we're here at the board, let's just finish this. I looked through the stats, and I appreciate the year-to-date totals. Something I can really digest and dissect. I see that, you know, of course, we're in the middle of, you know, a lot of animals being reproduced. And I know when I was over at Petco back in March and there were no animals there, I couldn't believe. They said, oh, we have none to send you. What a good problem to have that was. I noticed our adoption on cats is slightly lower than last year. The euthanized column is slightly lower. The rescue, though, is up 50%. Can you comment on that for cats? Did you get some new rescue?
Almost 100% attributable to Sox Rescue.
To what?
Mm. Sox Rescue. It's a cat rescue. It's okay. Relatively new.
Yeah, because that's a good increase.
Did they come here and talk?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought they did. All right.
Good organization.
Yeah.
Overall, the live outcome rate is about 61%, but this time of year, you know, you're talking about through July. That's the toughest part of the year. You expect to, regress a little bit. But I like everything that's going on. I like everything that's encouraging here. But I can see, I know you're implementing a lot of things. You're being innovative. And
I don't know if those statistics are right. I pulled the stats the other day. We're at 70.5%.
Really?
Live outcome.
Okay.
For the calendar year.
Oh, for the calendar, okay. Well, I won't buy the calendar year this year, but I might do it a little bit differently than you do. But anyway, everything is looking good. I appreciate everything that you're doing. We do have a new manager at the Petco on coffee, as you probably know.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron resigned, and I met the new manager, and I forget her name, but... she wanted to go on a tour at some point in time, and I just said that, you know, call you and you would help her facilitate
this.
And as far as the volunteers, to do 2,200 hours in July when everybody's on summer vacation is phenomenal. I mean, that's probably the best July we've ever had, I would think, for volunteers.
I don't have that information available, but it is right.
It's up there. It's up there. And that's all the questions I have. Liz, if you have a question at this time.
Once again, my fine neighborhood comes out as number one for calls per area. Do you have any thoughts, suggestions, whatever, about what we can do about this? I mean, it breaks my heart every time I see it, and sometimes it's even more than the prior month. And nobody else, no other area comes close. I mean, we're at 305 this month, and the next largest number is 217.
Yeah, to give you an idea of maybe why that number is what it is, the way that the field services jurisdictions are set up, Northeast is not only is it the largest, not by square miles, but the largest in the amount of residents.
Population.
Yes, but it's also densely populated. The houses are close together in that area, so there's probably infinitely more animal-owning homes in the Northeast jurisdiction than any other. There's other jurisdictions that are larger square mileage, but there's considerably less people living in them. So it's somewhat anecdotal, but the Northeast
Bakersfield has always been sort of a busy area for an animal patrol officer to work, not only because of those factors, but because it's just typically, for some reason, more loose animals in that area.
Okay. Well, it's also somewhat lower income than many of the other areas, I think.
This is true.
And that's why I'm wondering what can we do about this?
You know, I think with the things that we can do or things that we are doing already, our PEAT team spends a lot of time in the Northeast area. We have two officers, when we can, two officers assigned to the Northeast area to respond to calls as quickly as possible. And the spay-neuter is highly focused in the Northeast Bakersfield area.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, at the end of the fiscal year and we look at where the largest expenditure of the spay-neuter funding, it's usually in the Northeast.
Okay.
The 930567 area.
That's somewhat encouraging.
I mean, we would like to believe that at some point, we'll start to see those numbers decline. And I don't know if Vicki and Larry can shed any light on that, whether or not they have a lot of business coming from folks in the Northeast area. But it seems to me that a lot of people that are taking advantage of our spay-neuter programs are from that Northeast area, East Bakersfield.
You're talking about the county voucher program, yes.
But as a whole, I mean, the people that come into Curtis get their animal fixed.
Northeast, Southeast.
So there's
as far as voucher redemption, yes.
It would appear that there is some light at the tunnel, Ms. Keogh.
So,
thank you.
I've been saying that for years, but it seemed like it.
Okay. Thank you. As far as volunteer, you've talked about the volunteers. Is there anything further you want to add? Jeff's not here today.
He's back on duty.
I was going to ask how he's doing.
He's back to 40 hours a week.
Oh, good.
He's getting around well. But the volunteer program is still going strong.
Okay, excellent.
Thank you to all the volunteers, including yourself.
Item number three, if there's any other questions on the volunteer update.
Can I just do all my stuff when it's my turn?
Yeah, you can.
Thanks.
Spay-neuter funds update. Who would be doing that? Would it be Blake?
That would be it.
Okay. Thank you, Director.
Hi, this is Blake Smith, business manager. This is the final update I'm going to do for the fiscal year 16-17. We made it. We spent all the $200,000 plus some. Now, the data here is for the voucher program is vouchers issued up to June 30th of 2017. So I'm going to probably some of these, this $51,000, will actually, when I go through and analyze it more thoroughly, will be moved into the next fiscal year because that's when they were paid. But we did what we set out to do. 3,500 surgeries, and so our redemption rate has been hovering around 80, 81, 82% all year long, and it dropped down to 72%, and that is because of all the vouchers we issued on June the 8th, I think it is, for
World Spay
Day. They haven't all been, they haven't, their redemption date is the 8th of August. We gave 60 days of that. 10th of August.
Wasn't it June 10th?
Yeah, the 10th of it. So it's the 10th of August is when they were redeemed. So the redemption rate will probably creep back up some, but it's not going to get back up to the 82%. So anyway, that's where we are. And then, so if there are any questions?
I don't have any. Susan? Okay. I guess we have none.
Okay, and next month I'll begin reporting on how we're doing in for the current fiscal year starting July 1.
Cool. I'm sorry that I missed the new vet that was here last month.
How are you?
She's doing well.
Are we working her to death?
Absolutely.
Good one. Okay. Commissioner's announcements or reports. Commissioner Matthews.
Can we
jump to the JPA issue?
Well, we're going to on the old business. On old business.
Okay.
So let's just...
Okay. Oh, that's all right. I'll address myself about that. Okay. I have a couple questions. City's been advertising Clear the Shelters Day. Isn't that a national campaign?
It's shelters across the nation are participating in it, yes.
Okay. Who's the original owner of it? Is like
I want to say that NBC Universal had started Clear the Shelters.
Oh, really? Are we gonna do anything?
No, we're not participating in
it. We're gonna let them do that. Okay. And you mentioned Sox is doing great with cats. Can you be more specific what they're doing?
I mean, I can only speak to what they do for us, which
right,
is
I mean.
They are rescuing cats from our facility to place them through adoption, which there's not very many feline rescues that do that. So.
Okay, so they're pulling pretty regularly?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great. Okay. And my monthly question, how's the x-ray machine?
It's coming along.
Is it x-raying?
No, it is not x-raying. We're venturing into... dealing with electricians and electricity being run to the room.
But that issue at my
moment in time.
How about a couple of months ago, you put a call out to the community to help with fans and stuff like that. How's that situation?
Alleviated.
Okay, good.
I think I talked about it a few meetings
right.
ago. Yeah, we had a massive outpouring of support from the community, not just private, but organizations and businesses. Haddad Dodge came out and... too many to even name. I can't even think of all the organizations that came out and donated massive fans and systems to cool the animals. So it was a really heartwarming response that we saw.
Okay, great. And then last month you talked about the collaboration with Best Friends. I've seen a lot of the no-kill billboards mm-hmm. around town. They look good. What's that? Can you give us an update on what's going on with the collaboration with Best Friends?
Sure. So we partnered with we got together with Marley's Mutts to talk about how we can sort of generate some interest in a no-kill Kern County and how not only the public but other interested organizations could support that goal. And if for no other reason than there's almost 16,000 animals that come through county shelters alone, so if you're going to make an impact, it's probably a good place to do it. So we were contacted by the Best Friends Animal Society out of Los Angeles, and they reached out to us and wanted to tour a facility and have a discussion with us and Marley's Mutts to figure out what our goals were as far as a no-kill agenda is concerned, how we plan about going down that road, what we've already done so far, and they wanted to lend their knowledge, the things that they've learned out of the No-Kill Coalition in Los Angeles and the successes that they had
right.
and the failures that they had. And so we've been just working with both Marley's Mutts and the Best Friends organization to find out kind of what to do next to generate some support. So at this point, we're developing a steering committee for the No-Kill Coalition in Kern County, and there'll be several different organizations that we reach out to be a part of that steering committee to gather on maybe a monthly or bi-monthly basis where we can make decisions about what next steps to take to generate the most interest and achieve that goal.
Weasel their way into being on that committee?
Right now we're making those decisions about who's going to be on that steering committee.
Okay.
And they're businesses.
Okay.
Or rescue organizations.
Okay. Can a commissioner be considered somebody to be on that committee? Even if just to sit in and listen?
I don't see why not.
Okay.
I'm sure when we get to that point I'll make some announcements about
okay.
meetings that were had and when they'll be and stuff like that.
Okay. All right, that's cool. And then last month you mentioned that you're submitting a Petco grant for volunteer funds. Can you give us more specifics on what that request is for? What within the realm of volunteer is that for?
So I don't think that was volunteer, that was foster. We had submitted a grant to the Petco Foundation to support the foster program by financially supporting the hiring of a registered veterinary technician and three animal care workers to support the foster program. It was a grant in the amount of about $97,000, and that was submitted, and we'll get an answer in October on that.
So RVT and what else did you say?
Three animal care workers.
Okay.
all of that work is being performed by one animal care worker right now.
Yeah, who runs a vet up, okay. And then I wrote a note to myself last time that says, incentive rescue program. And I have no idea what that means. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, so when we talked with the Best Friends organization, or when we started researching about how the No-Kill Coalition in Los Angeles had achieved, and they have achieved their 90% save rate in LA shelters, how they went about doing that, and one of the programs that they had was an incentive-based rescue program where there's actually compensation for rescues to rescue animals from a shelter that are at high risk of euthanasia. So, you know, if they have a high volume of pit bulls type dogs that are being euthanized every year, they had an incentive-based program that if you rescued a pit bull that was deemed on that list of at risk, the rescue was compensated. Now, obviously, we're not in a position where we can compensate anybody to take an animal, but we're just looking at ideas of ways to not only generate interest in rescuing animals from the shelter, but I'm thinking of maybe new dynamic ways that animals that typically have a hard time getting out of the shelter alive, how we can make that happen.
Okay. Yeah, because we don't... Well, we do have a bully rescue in town, don't we? Are they still...
No pit bull specific rescues that are partnered with our organization.
I know there was a bully rescue. I haven't heard much about it lately. Okay. And then one other thing. Actually, I ran across this, I think it was on Facebook, and I'm really not on Facebook very much, but... you know, what happens on Facebook and on Nextdoor is I found a dog or I lost a dog. I found a dog, I lost a dog. I found a dog, I lost a dog. It goes on and on. I didn't know. And every time, you know, contact the shelters, try to do it in person, take a picture, you know, same story over and over again. And I know that your pet detective people are probably the best contacts for people like that to make. Could we set up a specific email address for people to send their, a copy of their flyer or a photo or whatever so that the pet detective folks can get that information? Because I think people are just sending it to a generic or email or doing it in person or whatever they're doing.
We kind of do. The general animal services inbox receives those emails pretty frequently of people that have lost their animal with pictures, and they usually get forwarded to the front office to be posted in the front lobby.
Okay.
So I would,
is there any way we can indicate on the website, you know, if you found a dog or lost a dog, please send the info here?
Sure.
For our pet detectives. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I'll throw it out there to anybody, any of the six or seven people that are in the audience and anybody who may be listening, that our pet detective program is looking for somebody to manage the pet detective program. The person who was managing it before, a volunteer, John Harrer, he retired, quote unquote, from the pet detective program. He did some really good things with it, and we're currently looking for somebody to manage that program, kind of take the next steps forward. But to answer your question,
do that?
Yes. But to answer your question, Commissioner Madigan, yes, we can absolutely do that.
Okay.
How long ago did he leave?
About a month ago.
Yeah. Did he leave, you know, a how-to book or anything?
There's still a pet detective team who do most of the work, and they're all very, very knowledgeable in what they do and how they do it. So, yes, there's not a hard copy of a book, but there are several staff members or several volunteers who know the ins and outs of the program.
Yeah, because that whole program really interests me a lot. I'll think about it. Was there questions out there, someone? That I could tell? No? Let me see what else do I have here. That's it.
Okay. I agree with Commissioner Madigan. I'm a huge fan of the billboards. I told the supervisors 5 years ago, I said, if you really want to mass market this idea, that's probably the single best way, most cost-efficient way you can do it. And I think I overheard you mention that, well, we had six, and Marty Smuts sponsored six. Was that the number?
That's correct.
And I, you know, I see them, and I notice them, and they make an impact. And I think, yeah, that's right, and I hope you're getting some good feedback on them. I don't know if you do or not.
I know I personally have. I've had probably 6 to 10 calls from individuals who didn't call me for that reason, but said they noticed the billboards and wanted to do what they could to support.
No kidding.
Bill. Yes.
All right. That's great. That's excellent. The interesting
thing is they didn't know who we were. Like, they'd never heard of Kern County Animal Services before.
What?
Really? They never heard of it? There are those out there that just think it just all happens automatically. They don't realize there's a lot of work that it takes to get things done. So anyway, it's another example. I like to see even more billboards when we have the budget for it, but I think it's just one of the best ways. You know, TV's too expensive, radio, you know, it's kind of expensive, but billboards, it's there, and it's very tangible. You can see it every time you go down Rosedale Highway and other places. I'm not sure where else you have them. What other streets do you have them on?
Oak Street at the overpass.
There's Oak Street. Right. We have one in the Tehachapi area. There's California Avenue, Rosedale Highway.
On both sides.
And two other locations I can't think of right now.
Okay. I am sad about the pet detective retiring. I think he made a pretty good size impact on taking photos and mass, you know, put on social media and whatever else. So return to owner is one of the things that I look at also. I think it's really fascinating. I agree with Susan on that. I think it's neat, and I hope whoever's taken over can take it and then take it to the next level. As far as no-kill coalitions, do we ever go to meetings like out of town do they have events for no-kill groups that share ideas on how they do this, or no?
Yes to both questions. Yes, we've sent our staff, and yes, they do have those.
Okay.
Kern County Animal Services received a scholarship to send two of our staff members to the Best Friends Animal Society convention in New Jersey. So
that was when Lisa went to, right?
Lisa and our Sally Breyer also went.
Okay.
And they brought back some amazing information.
I bet it was amazing. When you get people all thinking on that at that level and you start sharing ideas, you start hearing about innovations that might not have occurred to you for, you know, maybe a year down the road or more. So I think it's great to do that.
And the good thing about that is also Marley's Mutts received that same scholarship to send staff members. So our staff and Marley's Mutts staff were attending the same classes together and learned a lot about building the coalition.
Great. I think it's excellent. You can see that this thing is gaining traction. I mean, it's a little bleak in July and August probably, but I mean, this whole movement is gaining traction. Let's see. Okay, that's it on commissioner announcements and reports. I'm going to move on to old business. I don't remember once the staff referrals.
There were none.
We don't have any?
There's not any pending.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, good. Item number two, emergency preparedness subcommittee. Commissioner Gary.
Central California Animal Disaster Team Director Naomi Plant came down and met with Nick and I. The good news is that the Kern County Animal Services disaster plan is pretty much done. It just needs to be approved. Get that right?
Yes.
So that's really good news. So there's a plan written that is available. As far as CCAT, the group, we have been getting sponsors to be our community partners, and we have Kern County Sheriffs, we have Tehachapi School District, Bear Valley PD. I met with City Manager of Tehachapi and the Tehachapi Police Chief Kroger today. They didn't see a reason why not, but they just wanted to review the paperwork. We attended two national nights out, got a lot of signatures, people who want to be volunteers. And we did send one of ours to the Detwiler fire, and Naomi and the individual that went, we did a debriefing, and there's a lot of things that went right and a lot of things that went bad, and you learn from those things. So. It was an interesting experience. I guess the Red Cross kind of ran out of room, and it was just little problems that you do debriefing and you can fix it for the future. So that's where we are right now.
Okay. Any comments from the commissioners on that item? Commissioner Madigan? No? Okay.
Okay.
I don't have any either. Citizens Patrol Subcommittee. And I know we talked about that a few months ago, and I think Jeff, George.
What was that?
We were talking about tabling that, but I think you had brought that to our attention, Commissioner Blackburn.
Wow. I did. Yeah, I mean, I'm interested in it, and I believe in doing that. When you have the resources and people to do it with. I think that's interesting, and I think it was a parallel to what the BPD is doing on their volunteer. They have their own truck, and they were going around doing their thing. Maybe we could get to that point. I don't know, but I'm not sure where we left it since I wasn't here last month. I don't know how we left that item.
There hasn't been much discussion on that item. I can tell you that where we are right now with any kind of citizens patrol unit, it looks bleak.
Okay.
And that is just based on some recommendations from council.
It's giving your attorney a heart attack.
I'm trying to put it delicately, Jimmy.
Okay.
So it doesn't look like it's going to be come to fruition for animal services.
I think that came up while I was out on my medical issues. Mm-hmm. So can you give me just a little two-sentence background? Is this something that's done in other places? What's the purpose and who does it?
I can't say I know of any other animal control units that have put citizens volunteering for patrol. Mm-hmm. I know that almost all law enforcement agencies have citizen patrol units. But I can't say that I know of any that are in animal control units. To answer your question about what it is or what it does, it's just simply put using volunteers for field services. Low-level informational activities that can sort of take those calls off the hands of the field staff.
How is that different from using volunteers for the PEAT teams?
That's a good question, Commissioner Madigan. That would be a question that would be better directed at council.
Under the bus she goes.
You have the PEAT teams.
Are we using volunteers on PEAT teams?
Yes.
We were at one point.
We are.
Okay.
We are. And we were using PEAT teams before council ever looked at it. And it's primarily a liability issue. These people go to strangers' homes. They knock on doors. They do have some paraphernalia that indicates them to be an official entity from the government. There is an inherent danger in that.
Yeah.
And in order for a volunteer to participate, the department has to carry liability insurance and workman's comp on them, even though they are volunteers. So there can be significant expense attached to just a volunteer if the volunteer is in a quote-unquote hazardous position.
But right now we are using volunteers. Isn't it like one ACO and one volunteer?
Right now the PEAT program is not staffed by volunteers. We have used volunteers to fill the gaps before. The difference is that the PEAT team is mostly educational.
Right.
It's not nearly on the same level of enforcement-wise as a field services
volunteer. This would be more enforcement.
Correct.
Related. Okay. But it's the same idea of getting a somewhat trained volunteer to do field activities, be either educational or enforcement. And it's the same legal quagmire.
It is, but like I said, with a citizens patrol team, there'd be more chance or opportunity for a risk involved because just the type of interactions that they're having with the community.
I'm not saying I'm pro or against it, I'm just asking questions. Would it be helpful for an ACO to, say, have a volunteer assistant?
I'm sure most of the ACOs would say no. But I know that I've been in situations before where you just could use another hand a lot of times. I don't know the benefit to having an 8-hour volunteer. I mean, there might be a benefit to, you know, an officer maybe spending an hour or two a day with a member of the public, maybe patrolling areas that are problems. Or sometimes I know that in my experience with law enforcement, sometimes having a volunteer who's along with an officer, a volunteer who's a member of that community, makes that communication between the law enforcement entity or the animal control entity and the public. To have that volunteer who's, yes. So there is some benefit to it. I don't know if we're there right now to put something like that into motion. According to council, we are not there or anywhere near there. But
there's legislation pending that could affect it. There's a bill pending approval right now. I believe it's a Senate bill that basically says in order for a county to have work done by someone other than county employees. They have to do all these studies to ensure that we are not depriving county employees, read that, SEIU employees, of their livelihoods. So it would affect any program like this, which took work that we would normally have to have an officer do and move it to a volunteer. It would have to comply with those studies.
Is this legislation that SEIU is sponsoring?
I think it's generally union sponsored. I don't know if it is SEIU specifically, but for us, it's an SEIU issue. Okay. And that, I think if there's no vote by November, then it will fail.
Mr. Chair, can I ask Council, isn't this the same thing about, I mean, the larger issue is contracting out to private companies?
Yes.
Because that's
the same bill.
Yeah, that's been in the paper.
Yeah,
recently.
And it will also, we believe, affect volunteers.
Oh,
and
okay.
So it could also affect the volunteers in the shelter as well.
Oh, jeez. Okay, thank you.
Sounds like we need to have a conversation, huh?
I don't know. It's just a bill. It hasn't passed yet.
Has it had hearing in committee even?
I don't know. I don't know the status on it. We just got a heads up on it about 2 weeks ago.
I have a question that I'm not familiar with as far as like the role of volunteers or whatever with the P team, but in regards to the citizens patrol, if there was some sort of way where it's not a matter of a citizen going out and taking action, but as far as gathering information on behalf of animal services. So when someone calls Nick and says, hey, there's this vicious pit bull at the corner of this and that, rather than having to send an actual ACO at that moment, maybe there's a volunteer person who can simply observe and relay the information. If it's a matter of a citizen going to a location saying, yes, there's a pit bull there and it seems to be this or that, and relay that information, so that way, rather than having to send an actual ACO just to, you know, if you can save the ACO the trip, you know, maybe that could be advantageous and not put any citizen at risk or in jeopardy.
And I think I like the road you're headed down, but that specific circumstance, I'd be worried about the dog actually being vicious and then it delaying our response to the vicious dog by another 20 or 30 minutes and somebody getting mauled. But
well, just an example. I mean, as far as the type of calls that a citizen could maybe act as, you know, gathering information of whatever. And then also the idea, which I mentioned in a separate conversation, as far as just educating the public about the issues that animal control officers and the shelter has to deal with, as far as, you know, why certain things are handled in a certain way, things they can't do, and what's required for county to take action, just arming the public with information so that they themselves are aware of how things work, and then also they can act almost as kind of like informed ambassadors, whether it's with family and friends or on social media or whatever, but at least there's some way for them to get actual legitimate information from the source itself, being, you know, the county.
Thank you. Good comment. You know, I like the idea of a citizens patrol subcommittee. If we ever had the money and resources and people to do it, I'd be one of the volunteers to do it too, and I think Danny would also. I don't know if we'd ever get there or not, but, and there's, you know, liability issues and things like that that you'd have to be careful of, but someone to be the eyes and ears, because you've got X amount of field officers and they can't be everywhere, so it would be another resource. Mm-hmm. You know, I know this question may have been asked, but do they have these in other counties?
I don't know of any other animal control organizations that do have volunteers in field services.
I don't know who thought this up. But
that's not to say there aren't. I just don't know of any.
Yeah.
Nobody
knows. It was a good idea on whoever thought of it. I don't know. It might have been Jeff. I don't know. Okay.
Well, the only way that I see that something like that could work is, do you respond to strays in the area with your staff, with that amount of staff?
Yes.
Okay, so let's say someone who covers
well, they all cover huge areas. It could be beneficial for someone who lives out in Ridgecrest.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got your area officer on the other ends to go out and say, yes, there's a stray there. Yeah, that would be helpful because your response time is crazy. Because usually they're gone, I would imagine.
That's true.
Yeah.
One doesn't wait for the stray to go out.
No. But the problem with that, if I may comment.
Yes, you may.
Is that, okay, the volunteer goes out and looks at him. The volunteer cannot approach the dog. The volunteer cannot corral the dog.
No.
So there's no reason the dog still isn't going to run away. I mean, I suppose we could take a picture.
Or the volunteer could follow the dog.
Yeah, that's what I meant. It's just
and follow the dog, but that involves approaching the dog. And that's where the liability issues arise.
Yeah.
So
and also, in the what I was just saying to Debbie, say that something should occur, the dog attacks somebody or whatever, then that volunteer is involved in the dangerous dog case as a witness, and that puts them in a whole third category of liability. And, you know, I mean, it may be a good thing, that way we have another witness, or maybe a bad thing for counsel because then she has to navigate her way through it. But.
And don't forget you're arguing with an attorney, so you're
right.
Probably not going to win that one.
Yeah. So since we don't know where this came from, and it sounds like it's not going to work, get off the point of business.
I can say that Jeff George and I, we've been talking about some version of some volunteer program in field services for probably 2 years.
Okay.
So we won't stop that conversation. And we'll continue to throw things past
Cap. Right.
Yeah. And at some point, I'm going to retire.
Sorry. It should be my volunteer counsel.
I get him first.
Amber, she's going to retire like, you're going to retire like Amber Quinn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, Director Coleman, if you and Jeff talk about it, there's another reason to bring it up again. I mean, please do, because I think it's a great idea on behalf of somebody, it might have been Jeff, I think is who brought it up, but I agree with Danny, I think it could be a resource that, you know, we're not using the people would like to say, I'd like to step it up a little bit, I'd like to help out and do something, but there's got to be boundaries, you know, that's the problem that you have, so let's take it off old business and we'll bring it up again at the right time. We're going to move on to item number 4, presentation by Commissioner Maddy on the feasibility of GPA, okay. We've talked about this joint powers agreement authority the last couple of months. We had a committee of 2, and now it's a committee of 1. And so we're going to, I'd like you to talk.
Okay.
Give me an epilogue on it, and then we're going to talk about it here.
We kind of put it to rest last month.
Okay.
I think Janice's party words to me were something to the effect of put your thinking cap on about where you want to go from here.
Okay.
And I've had my thinking cap on for a while. And I'm all in favor of putting it to rest.
Okay.
However, the thing that still kind of looms are the specific issues of concern that were brought up. And I just kind of made some notes right now. The confusion about jurisdiction for people, I don't know if I'm in the city or county, the hours and days issue, and then the intake sharing. Those are probably the 3 main issues. 2 things came up. One, Danny mentioned at the end of the last meeting, mm-hmm. we were sitting around chatting. Actually, I was eavesdropping on him talking to somebody else is what happened. But he made a good point. Could we put a button on the website that said that you click on that says, click here to see if you live in the city or county? And that would probably help a lot of people just, you know, right off the bat, because as we mentioned, a lot of people don't know. And I know there are resources within the county, and I know you guys have resources because you can put an address in and figure out what it is. I know. I've never been able to find that particular button anywhere on the mm-hmm. county website, but I'm sure something like that exists. So, is that a possibility that we could at least address part of it with that idea that Danny mentioned? Is can we
So I pursued that same idea, and the answer is no. There's no, a link cannot be created so that somebody puts in their address and it tells you whether it's city or county. What we were told is it's a lot more complicated than just putting a button. Belaying the fact that jurisdictions change from time to time. But so the county and the city both have geological information systems websites, GIS websites, and there are hundreds and hundreds of layers of data that's available on those GIS websites. One of them is jurisdiction, city and county. They talked about giving us a link to that site. Our dispatch service uses the GIS site. It is sorely lacking in accuracy. The city of Bakersfield's GIS system and their website is much more accurate than the county's is. So there's not a system in place right now that can be depended on for somebody to type in their address and user-friendly be able to determine whether they're city or county. Unfortunately, we have pursued that very recently to find out if that's something that can be done. And by the way, the county's GIS department, and there is a department, is actually working on developing, and they've been working for several months now, I think, on a program that can help us internally determine that much faster than we already do. So there's a lot to the problem of jurisdiction. It's just a lot more complicated than putting a button there, though.
Okay. What I've done is called the non-emergency line to the police department and say, is this address city or county? And that's the best way I know of.
And to be honest with you, our dispatchers do the same thing sometimes. They call the sheriff's department, give them an address, and they'll tell you.
Okay. All right. Well, it's something we'll hold in the back of our minds as an option. That being said, what I would like to, and I don't know exactly how to make this tangible, but create some kind of a liaison volunteer or committee or person or something that would work with the city on, not on a managerial level, but on a one-on-one, just kind of go over there and chat with the city, at the Animal Care Center or chat with Tammy. And say, here's an issue. How can we work together to make this easier? And say, intake sharing or, one of these issues. Kind of create maybe a sub-task of the commission or something to not completely put these issues to sleep because they're still there. I don't want to, I don't want to escalate it to the JPA level. I just want to make it as a low-level, little liaison task force that kind of looks at these kinds of city-county issues for animal services that we can address one at a time, slowly, as they arise kind of thing.
Commissioner, I'm sorry, I believe that falls outside the purview of the commission.
Yeah,
that's more an animal... Well, that, as you're describing it, is more of an animal control staff position.
Could it be an animal control volunteer position?
It depends on whether or not you want a volunteer speaking for the department.
Say that again?
It depends on whether or not you would want a volunteer in a position to speak on behalf of the department.
Okay.
So if I could, not that there's a problem with that, but the problem with that is that the issues that we're talking about, intake sharing, there's a financial part to that.
Right.
So, Officer Davis with the City of Bakersfield's Animal Control is not in a position that she can make those decisions.
Right.
So when we're talking about things, that's high-level things that people in city government and county government, to be honest with you, above me, would need to make decisions on because then you're getting into cost sharing. Now,
I think I'm talking lower level than that. I'm talking
coordination.
Yesterday, Joe Smith came in with a bull terrier, and he lives in the county, but he showed up at the city. And these are the circumstances of his situation. Can we look at those specific circumstances, not change policy or change financial arrangements, just look at the circumstances of his situation and say, is there a way we could make that easier? Does that make sense, or am I
just talking about information sharing?
So
yeah.
It still appears to be a staff position.
And I'm not really identifying who it would be. I'm just looking at the task itself.
And I don't want to give the impression, or you get the impression, that conversations like that don't happen now. Because they do.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
And an example of that is there is an emergency vet here in Bakersfield, Animal Emergency and Urgent Care. They've been around for years. They used to be the sole provider of after-hours emergency services for animals county animal services. Well, over time, the city and the county have adopted different policies on how they determine jurisdiction on animals. At times, it was based on the resident's ID, and at other times, it was where the animal was found. Well, one of the entities, city or the county, I'm not going to say which one, decided to change that recently, and that meant an issue for Animal Emergency and Urgent Care because they have a high volume, what I would consider a high volume, of members of the public bringing in injured animals that are not their own.
Right.
So that put Animal Emergency and Urgent Care in a position of having to get us, the county, and the city on the same page for determining jurisdictions so that they know who to call.
Mm-hmm.
We reached out to the city. We had a meeting, we came to a conclusion, and we figured out a solution moving forward. So those conversations do happen.
Right.
But when we're talking about an animal that's the city's responsibility or the county's responsibility, it gets complicated. So I just want to make sure that, I mean, the low-level stuff, those communications do happen, either between me and the city field services unit or me and the shelter manager, Julie Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it really depends on the situation.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I don't know that there's any way around making it easier for a city resident to take an animal to the county shelter or vice versa without involving somebody above both mine and Officer Davis.
But I mean, that's just one of the issues. I guess maybe I'm looking for a negotiator, or that's not really the word I'm looking for, but a problem solver person, you know. So a problem occurs because of the city county issue. Maybe it's not intake. Maybe it's ours. Maybe it's
you're just talking about brainstorming issues,
right? So someone that can come in and say, you know, we got a specific situation here. You know, bring in Joe Smith, who's kind of this negotiator person who can look at the situation and maybe figure out: do I contact Nick? Do I contact Julie, or can we just work it out with, you know, staff? I don't know. Am I just barking up a tree that doesn't...
I'm just trying to understand. I mean, I think to some extent I am the problem solver with the county's issues.
Right, and that's kind of taking away from you so that these small little low-level things that are city-county related, you know, a person who's going to drive back and forth between city and county and address these small little issues.
Yeah, and I think I understand what you're saying, Commissioner Madigan. I don't know of any specific circumstances where there was something what I would consider low level that wasn't able to be handled with a phone call or a meeting between me and somebody with the city.
Okay.
But I think that once we start thinking of issues that need somebody to solve them, they get complicated.
Okay.
And it ends up being something to do with jurisdiction and costs.
Okay.
And I don't know, but I guess I would need to know what you would consider a low-level decision that a volunteer sort of negotiator would be involved. By the way, I volunteer with Liz to be a negotiator.
Okay, well, then let's just put the issue to rest now.
I'll make a motion.
Yeah. Can I make a motion?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'll make the motion. We put the AJPA issue to rest for now.
We dissolve the committee.
We dissolve the committee, and I'll keep a conversation going with Nick about how to address this.
I would recommend that if you get issues that you feel need to be addressed that have not been addressed, that are not city and county dropping off animals wherever you want, feel free to contact me or send me an email as long as it's not a violation of a Brown Act. And I'll try to come up with a solution. Honestly, I think that's what I'm paid to do, is come up with solutions to problems. So.
Great.
Okay, we have a motion.
I second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. So we're going to vote. All in favor of dissolving the committee?
Aye.
Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. Thank you. Blake, I want to, you raise your hand a couple of times, so if you'd like to add something to
this. It's done. I'm good. Thanks.
Okay.
It was handled. Appreciate it.
Gary, I don't know where we left off on, you had mentioned having every other month meetings.
We talked about that a few months, like 6 months ago, and I don't want to address it here.
Do you want to put it back on to back into a new business?
For next month, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to revisit it.
I believe the determination was made to not have
tonight. Yeah. Okay, I must have
decided not to do it.
Okay.
No, you can't do it.
Okay. Mm. Okay. I remember discussing it.
I think it was month before last.
Yeah, and I was one of the ones that said that I didn't want to slow down the momentum that we had.
No, we have great momentum, and it's just what everybody wants to do. I'm good with either way, but since we've already discussed it, then we'll pass on it.
Right.
Okay, so we've covered old business. New business, it says none, but is there any new business?
No.
From anybody? I guess there's none on here, so maybe we can't
bring it up. We don't have Friends of the Shelter on here anymore?
It's like, things or
something. Yeah, I know
Okay. Okay, so we've taken care of everything on the agenda. So, last but not least.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
See you next month.